You're listening to the Good Dirt Podcast. This is a place where we dig into the nitty-gritty of sustainable living through food, fashion, and lifestyle.
And we're your hosts, Mary and Emma Kingsley, the mother and daughter founder team of Lady Farmer. We're sowing seeds of slow living through our community platform, events, and online marketplace.
We started this podcast as a means to share the wealth of information and quality conversations that we're having in our world as we dream up and deliver ways for each of us to live into the new paradigm, one that is regenerative, balanced, and whole.
We want to put the microphone in front of the voices that need to be heard the most right now. The farmers, the dreamers, the designers, and the doers.
So come cultivate a better world with us. We're so glad you're here. Now, let's dig in. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our March bonus episode. Today, we are chatting about all things slow kitchen, slow living through food in the kitchen, and how my mom and I each go about doing that. We started this conversation with the intention of just having it be one shorter episode, but it was so fun, and we were talking for a while, so we decided to break it up into two parts. So this week, part one, you'll hear us chatting about food sourcing and storage and how we each go about that. And next month, we chat more about food prep, which is a huge part of slow living in the kitchen, and also the gadgets and appliances that we both use and love and recommend and don't recommend. So that is next month's part two, Slow Kitchen. We hope that you enjoy. Good morning, Mom.
Good morning.
It has been a good morning.
Yes.
We've already been chatting for a long time today. I've been doing some Lady Farmer stuff, and we've been excited to record this specific episode thanks to the idea from our lovely producer to talk about this topic specifically. See, we get all down our rabbit holes, and we forget that there's some things that maybe we talked about a long time ago, or we feel like we talk about all the time, but maybe our listeners don't remember or never listened, or they're new listeners. So we're trying a new thing where we are taking some larger concepts, breaking them down, and just working through things like really slowly and simply. And the topic for today is the kitchen, everything having to do with the kitchen and preparing food, not everything, but what we call slow food and the way that we personally live out slow living and slow food in our kitchens, which, disclaimer, we are not perfect. No one's perfect. But being immersed in these things for a few years now, we do feel like we have some things to share.
Yeah. And we were just talking about it beforehand, talking about things we could cover, things we could bring up. And it turns out there's a lot. Yeah. And it figures because the kitchen is, well, the kitchen. And
yes,
a lot happens there. So it just reminded both of us, I think, how much slow living can be applied in the kitchen or not, or depending on where you are and some of the challenges that lie therein. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we're here to talk about.
Yes. And as we hope this is helpful, we'd love to hear your thoughts after you listen. And of course, if there's anything related, or if you'd want us to expand on anything, or if there's a different topic, they're like, oh, I wish they would do that with this topic, please let us know. We love your feedback.
Yes.
We have a voicemail. You can call us in the show notes. We have an email address. Contact us. DM us on Instagram. We want to do what you want to listen to. So let's get started with this. And I also, just to lay out, give some context, the lay of the land. I did not sleep well last night. And so I got up really early, and I've been like basically doing computer work all morning, and lots of things to get to today. Like, today is like not a slow living day for me, but A, doing this recording is really fun and feels like slow living. B, as you just know, because we've had a couple of starts and stops with this, I wanted to get my lunch together before we did this. And so I did this like quick little salad thing that I'll tell everyone about. And my lunch is like a slow living lunch. And I don't know. I just talking about coming out of the Soul Living Challenge and these like moments to moments, like it's not going to be your whole life is going to be this glorious, long, slow thing, but just kind of making space where you can.
Yeah.
Giving yourself grace. And yeah, so I just wanted to share that that's where I'm coming from today.
Yes. And every moment that you can enhance with slow living intention is one more moment of your life that you slow down. And
totally.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. And for me specifically, and I assume that I'm not alone, the element of having good food,
yes,
nourishing yourself and fueling yourself really makes such a difference. And I know just as much as the next person, that's a lot of, it can feel like a lot of work. It can feel really overwhelming. It can feel really inaccessible. But as soon as you are able to wrap your head around it and figure out what you need and how to get yourself that in a way that works for you, eating good food changes everything. It just makes you feel better,
yes,
makes you sleep better, makes everything work better, calms your nervous system, all of those things. So anyways, all this to say, I'm really glad that I like have this great food in my refrigerator and pantry that we're about to get to as to how I do that. And that I can say, can we pause for 10 minutes so I can massage my salad so that by the time I'm ready to eat it, it's ready. And as I was doing it, I was like, this is actually so easy. When as usually I would be like intimidated by making a big salad and stuff, but you've really gotten it down to science, Mom.
I've had a lot of practice.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the food here, and having good food is a perfect entree into our discussion, because what better way to begin talking about your slow, sustainable kitchen than the food that's in it? So
yes,
it's a really good place
and
to start.
And just a quick overview, we're going to chat. Our intention today is to chat about food and sourcing, how to get it, and then prepping it is a whole other category, storing it, and then we're going to get into our individual kitchens and talk about our various appliances that we love and things that we try to avoid and why. So those are some of the four main categories: the food itself, the food prep, the storage, and the things that we use to cook it.
Yes.
Do you want to give us a brief start with sourcing, food sourcing?
Yes, of course. And if you're a frequent listener to The Good Dirt, you will hear us talking about this all the time, but you can't say it too often. Food sourcing is really where it's at in terms of sustainability, simplicity, your health, the health of the planet, the health of your family. And so often we hear about everything, how going local as much as you can really solves so many of the issues just right off the bat. If you just look where you are, where can I get food that is grown, produced as close as possible? Now, we're all immersed in this giant industrialized food system, and sometimes it's hard to do that, but we can just start where we are. That's the best
we
can do.
Yeah, and doing the best we can do with what we have.
Exactly.
To your point. And I see it as different tiers, echelons.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in totally different circumstances based on geographic location to be able to source these things, to mm-hmm. pricing, to accessibility,
yeah,
and the amount of income that we're able to allocate to groceries do dictate the kinds of groceries that you're able to get. So all of these things, all of this to say, it's all about doing the best with where you are and what you have. And there's no, obviously, like right or wrong. We're never trying to tell you the right and wrong.
Yeah.
Just what we do and what has worked for us.
Yeah.
As you said, the first obviously goal tier would be to find a farm and know your farmer and be really connected, as connected to that food as possible if you're not even farming it yourself. Get as close to it coming out of the ground. This can look like joining a CSA. This can look like going to your local farmer's market or anywhere else that you know that sources from your local farms. Just getting to the farm where you know the name of the farm on the label, where it's located, how far it is from you, and maybe even the farmer themselves.
So yes, you may or may not have local farms around you that are practical to get to and buy your food. But you may or may not have a CSA nearby. There is a website, which we will link in the show notes, that you can search and see where your nearest CSA is or a local farm. And maybe you're out and about in farm stands where you can stop every now and then and get stuff, but this is not a regular thing. Anyway, this is all to say those are ideal circumstances, of course, where you can buy straight from a local farm or belong to a CSA, but that might not be practical for you. In those instances, there are often smaller grocers or natural food chains even that will carry more local food. So the question to ask is, how many miles or what is the distance that my food has traveled from the ground to my plate? And you just take it from there. And if you don't have the local farms around you, you go to your store and you look at the offerings. And I've noticed in these places often, there might be something that's maybe one or two states away. We're speaking from the East Coast. And most of our food that's sold in the grocery store comes from the West Coast or another country. So most of our food is from far away. You can find in the stores things that are closer than that. Even on your side of the country is an improvement. Just begin with that question for yourself, asking how far the food you are choosing has traveled to get to your plate, and do the best you can from there, because local food has so many advantages in general. It's going to be from a smaller operation that uses sustainable farming practices, maybe not 100%, but that's more than likely to be the case. It's going to have a higher nutrition content.
It's money straight back into your local economy. So many reasons. And just on that, I do want to say, as far as the cost goes, it is worth actually like a cost analysis. Up front, sometimes it looks like fresher, more local food is much more expensive than grocery store food. But sometimes it can actually be the opposite, that fresher local food in the end, I found comparing periods of time when we're members of the CSA versus have not been members, we spend far more on groceries than when we are spending what feels like a larger chunk upfront for our local food. So to go off of what you were saying, Mom, first echelon is go to the farm, know your farmer, or farm it yourself. That's the best. Second would be locating stores specifically. And even if you just have the big box run-of-the-mill store, understanding what brands are based closest to you, source closest to you. Use whatever you've decided is your set of values, whether it's organic, regenerative, or simply just lesser additives or whatever it is. Figure out your own value system for what you're going to look for in the store. Buy things that are as close to their natural source as possible. So the least processed things, the better. And then for the in-betweens, for like maybe the things that you can't necessarily source nearby or you can't find in the store, but there's some things that are like really easy to do yourself, even if you don't even have any outdoor space. For example, you can grow herbs in a windowsill. You can grow microgreens in a windowsill. You can make your own sourdough on your kitchen counter, as we all learned in 2020. If we were not already doing. Also, just to say that it's like local farms and then being really discerning at the grocery store with specific types of foods that you're buying, labels, brands. We're hoping to do much more of a deep dive on brands and things that we do buy in the grocery store, that all of that will be accessible in our resource vault on our Substack for folks looking for guidance there. And then in between being things you can do in your window, like herbs. Yes.
Yes. And to circle back to the shopping for a moment, something I personally use as a guide to buying food is the packaging. And you would be surprised how often that determines what you buy or don't buy. And this is a big part of a slow and sustainable kitchen to me personally. yes, we belong to a CSA, so we get all this great farm food, but there are some gaps that we do fill in our household. And yes, we go to Costco, and we were there recently, and I decided to really tune in on why or why not I was deciding to pick something up and buy it. And I found that when I was really looking at the packaging, which I usually do normally, and in Costco, some things are horrendously packaged, but other things are in bulk. And yeah, they might have some plastic, but you get so much of it, it's like in the end is like reduced packaging. But anyway, to my point, I ended up buying so much less because of the decisions I made based on packaging. I'll just give you an example. There's a brand there that's a really good guacamole. And I love guacamole.
Is it the Holy Guacamole?
I think so. I'm not sure which brand it was I was specifically looking at.
That's
that
the
day.
One I'm picturing in my head, but continue.
Okay, so it's really delicious, but the way they had a package was they had three small plastic containers and it was wrapped up in cardboard. And I said no, because the small containers, that would be like just a quick, maybe two servings of it. And there, then you have the plastic thing. So I thought, nope, I'll make my own guacamole. So I went over to the produce section and they did have the bags of avocados. But guess what? It was that plastic netting. And again, I decided not to get it.
These are constant decisions and things that you need to recalibrate for. So we're not saying don't eat avocados. It's whatever value system you've created for yourself to figure out if the avocados are worth it to you. And sometimes they are.
Avocados are not local. And there's a lot of icky politics around avocados as well. But they're a great food. And there are really good reasons to eat it. But I'm very careful about when and where I get them and how they're packaged.
Yeah.
So anyway.
What's interesting about the packaging thing, or what's helpful about the way that you're thinking about it, I do this sometimes too, but to lesser of a degree that you do, is you pick the thing that's going to like trump the other things. For you, yeah. I feel like it's plastic and packaging. I'm in a place in my life where I'm a little bit more concerned about getting healthy fats and healthy nutrition. I might say the plastic doesn't bother me as much because I really need these avocados. I don't, there's not another way that I'm going to get this amount of good fats in my day, et cetera, et cetera. For me, it's a little bit, I feel a little bit more wishy-washy about it. But the fact that you have decided that you're just not going to do excess plastic actually makes the decision-making easier for you.
Yes,
even if
absolutely.
It feels like you have to miss out on some stuff maybe that you wanted, whatever, you've made that decision and you don't have to do that mental gymnastics every single time.
So. And guess what? By the time we got to the checkout counter, we had saved a ton because of the things I had not bought based on the packaging. But anyway, so there's trade-offs, there's switch-offs, but just to bring this conversation back around to how fundamental the food and food sourcing and your buying choices are to the slow and sustainable kitchen. Oh, and I want to bring up this book. This is a well-known book. It's called Eating on the Wild Side by Joe Robinson. There's a lot of things in this book, but pertinent to this conversation particularly is she'll walk you in through the grocery store and show you how to judge the freshness of things and whether or not they've been there a long time and which varieties have the most nutrition. It's really helpful book. We will link that in the show notes as well. And of course, this goes without saying that you know, the more local your food, the fresher it's going to be, obviously. And just think about it. It's just common sense. Something that's traveled 3,000 miles across the country and then sat on your grocery store shelves versus something that you pick up at the farmer's market or your CSA or your grocer who sources things more locally makes a big difference.
Totally.
So
I think related to the packaging point too, bulk food when you can saves a lot on packaging and many times it is more local and many times you do find the bulk food at the more local cooperatively owned grocery stores that are more fun to support anyways. So yes, bulk shopping. Let's go into food storage. So once you bring the food home and you are storing it in your house, in the kitchen.
Okay. So like most people that are interested in sustainability and growing things and all that. I'm really hooked on mason jars.
Yeah, and they're a great way to help minimize plastic as well in your house.
Absolutely. They're key. They're key to cutting down the plastic, for sure. So when you buy things in bulk, obviously, when you get home, you can put them in the glass jars for longer storage. And to go back to the shopping for one more point, it's a good thing to bring your own shopping bags. Everybody knows this. But I usually just use the paper bags that's offered in the store because I have lots and lots of uses for those. So I don't feel like that's wasteful for me because I can use those. Gosh, I can use them for mulch. I can use them as a fire starter. I use them for all kinds of storage, all kinds of sorting. So I have multiple uses for paper bags and I don't have too many of those. So I don't mind that. But of course, the cloth shopping bags are ideal.
We love cloth bags, like the smaller ones for getting things in bulk or putting your veggies in so you don't have to use the plastic. Also, I don't know if this is news to anyone, but you don't need to put your vegetables in a bag to buy them. You could just put them in your cart and you could just put them on the conveyor belt and they will check them out for you. There's that. But if you are very organized and you can remember, you can get smaller reusable produce bags for the shopping. And I also use those for storing veggies in my fridge for my greens from the CSA in particular. I have a few linen bags that I store the greens in just to keep things separated and organized and protected in my fridge.
You said you have a few linen bags. I want to make the point that linen cloth has antimicrobial properties in it. So if you store your salad greens in linen in the fridge, it's going to keep them fresher longer. Just a little tip there.
Yeah. And another fun thing to store in linen is your bread. And whether or not you buy bread at the grocery store, buy bread from your local market baker, bake your own. Bread stores really nicely in linen as well. And a fun trick that we do, because you taught me, Mom, is you slice your bread to the slice that you want it, your fresh bread, and then you put it in the freezer, pre-sliced. So that way it lasts however long you need it. And when you need a fresh piece of bread, all you do is pull it straight out of the freezer and stick it in the toaster. And it's perfect.
Yes, or just let it thaw for your sandwich or whatever. Bread thaws pretty quickly by itself. Yeah, slice it, store it in the freezer, and pull it out as you need it.
It's really tricky to avoid plastic storing food in your fridge since most Tupperware is made out of plastic. And of course, the most sustainable thing usually is use the thing that exists. So we're definitely not telling you that you have to go buy a bunch of stuff. That being said,
right,
if a priority of yours is avoiding plastic, sometimes that does mean that you have to replace things. However, a super good source for food storage items is thrift stores, especially because they don't even make fully glass food storage anymore. I'm talking about everything from the lip of the lid of the food storage now almost always has silicone on it. Not saying anything bad about silicone at all, but pointing out that there's nothing that's just glass anymore. However, they used to make these awesome glass jars with glass lids, and you can find them at antique and thrift stores.
Yes. And also the mason jars are great food storage in the fridge.
Yeah. Even if it seems weird, like you're looking for a more like square, shorter thing, you can put whatever you want in a mason jar. That's a good point.
Also, I personally use my glass mason jars in the freezer. Now, this is a little tricky because if you fill a glass jar to a certain point, when it freezes, it will break. And I have had this happen, but I've practiced it now to the point where I think I have the knack. And in general, I'll say you don't fill anything past the shoulder of the jar. And that usually works fine. At the end of the summer, when we're cooking all these tomatoes and all these summer squashes and things and making soup, I can fill those half-gallon mason jars up to the shoulder, stick them in my freezer. We have a big full-size freezer in our garage, and just put it in there. And then during the winter, just pull out one of those jars and let it thaw. And there you go. Soup for dinner already prepared. It's really awesome. Thanks for listening to part one of our slow kitchen bonus. Stay tuned for part two.
Thank you for tuning in, calling in, and spreading the good dirt. We love hearing from you. You can reach our listener voicemail at 443-459-1950. That's 443-459-1950. You can find this number in our show notes and in our Instagram profile.
This show is produced by Lady Farmer, a slow living lifestyle community, and the original music is composed and performed by John Kingsley.
For more from Lady Farmer, follow us on Instagram at @WeAreLadyFarmer. That's @WeAreLadyFarmer. Or join us online at www.ladyfarmer.com. We'll see you next time on The Good Dirt.
Goodbye.